Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. We're featuring remarks from the Go Public for Life rally organized by Vision 2020. The event was held across the street from the Planned Parenthood in Aurora and just a few feet away from the Pro-Life Waterleaf Women's Center. Julie Garofalo, the executive director of the center, commented on the expansion of Waterleaf.
Throughout the day, the sounds of construction paint a picture in our mind of what's going on around us while we keep our focus on the women and men we are serving. Digging, drilling, sawing, hammering, machines whirring, each sound contributes to the noise and the chaos of change. Yet each sound plays its role in the eventual outcome of something new, beautiful, and so very important. We just have to see beyond the noise and stay strong through the chaos of change. I can't help but compare this to what goes on in a woman's head when she is faced with an unexpected pregnancy. There are so many voices vying for her attention. There is so much noise, so much chaos going on in her mind. She's struggling with so many emotions related to this huge change in her life and to this change in her identity. I know I'm preaching to a choir here that knows there is hope and a beautiful outcome if she would choose life. But she doesn't know that because she can't see beyond her current noisy and chaotic situation all by herself. If only all the voices she heard were ones of acceptance, encouragement, support, truth, love, and hope, she could envision that beautiful outcome and move forward with joy and anticipation. Unfortunately, there are way too many voices that prey on her fears, insecurities, and anxieties. Too many voices that isolate her at a time when she needs love and support the most. Way too many voices that convince her that terminating her pregnancy is in her best interest. Too many voices that make her feel shame, draw within herself, and terminate her pregnancy in the privacy of her own home. Too many voices that help her justify her actions as her right as a woman. Sadly, those voices are only transactional and become deathly silent when she experiences regret and grief over her decision. All of you work so diligently outside here as sidewalk counselors and prayer warriors, and the Waterleaf team of advocates, nurses, sonographers, and resource specialists serve inside to reach her with messages of truth, love, and hope. Yet it is so very difficult to be heard over the voices that shout the loudest about reproductive freedom, the voices that are backed by government and big business, the voices that intend to drown us out, the voices that are used to promote evil instead of good, voices that have turned our culture upside down. However, we know our voices are a gift from God, and we must use them for good. We must use them to change our current culture. I was recently at a conference where a speaker encouraged us effectively to use our voices by employing these two strategies. Be ready, be courageous. Be ready. First, to effectively reach her, we must know how to talk to her about her. Nothing else. Let her voice her story. Second, when speaking to others about abortion, we must know how to state our position in a manner that makes people react by saying, I never thought about it that way. We don't need to make it an argument where there is a winner and a loser. We just need to plant the seed for seeing the issue in a different light. For example, when someone says, well, I don't believe in abortion, but there should be an exception when the life of the mother is at stake. Your concise response would be to first establish the fact that abortion deliberately ends the life of a human being, followed by, when mother's health may be at risk, there is no need to deliberately end the life of the child to save the life of the mother. The mother and child can be separated by intentional delivery. Then the mother and child can be treated as two unique patients. If the child dies as a result, it was not a deliberate act. There are so many effective and loving ways to support and care for the mother that don't include deliberately ending the life of the child. Why don't we explore those first instead of automatically defaulting to abortion? This line of thinking can apply to cases of rape and incest as well. I challenge you to rethink how you discuss abortion with others. Second, be courageous. We have to speak up about the truth. So social conformity experiments conclude that an individual who inherently knows something to be true will abandon that truth when everyone around them proclaims something else, no matter how blatantly false it is. Yet when just one other person in the group speaks the inherently known truth, that individual will readily speak his or her inherently known truth, regardless of what the rest of the group says. It takes just one person to courageously speak out to encourage others who agree to do the same. We must have the courage to speak the truth no matter what. We have the power and responsibility to change our culture by being ready and by being courageous to go first. Then we light a fire so the whole tribe can find us. I leave you with this. Praise God for the voice he has given you. Seek God to know and live the truth. Ask God for courage. And thank God for choosing you to deliver the message of truth, love, hope, and peace. With our God-given voices, we have the opportunity to change hearts and minds. So speak up and let God work through you. Thank you.
Julie Garofalo with the Waterleaf Women's Center during the Go Public for Life rally in Aurora. Matt Yonke with the Pro-Life Action League also offered a challenge at the event near the Planned Parenthood in Aurora, where life activists pray and counsel women to choose life for their children.
Anybody's first time at Planned Parenthood today? Anybody? Yeah, we got a few. Excellent, excellent. Well, that's great to hear. That's the purpose of this event, right? To encourage folks to come out and be a part of this witness. And why is this witness so important? Well, for a lot of reasons. One is because there are children who are dying here every single day, right? And our presence here, our physical presence, is one of the only signs of love that they will ever receive in this life. We are the only people who will individually mourn for these children, right? Many people will be concerned about the issue of abortion in a larger sense. But watching these mothers walk into this clinic to kill these children, we're the people who are going to be here to mourn. And that is, as our Lord said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So that is important work in and of itself. But that's in addition to the countless stories that I've heard as in 17 years as a pro-life activist from women who say, I went by that clinic, I didn't talk to anybody, but I saw someone standing there and I chose to drive by and not have the abortion that day. I've heard more stories like that than I can tell you. It's not unlike a story we heard on our Face the Truth tour. We heard after our Face the Truth tour last year up in Rockford. We were fortunate enough to hear from the pregnancy center employees there who talked to someone who saw us holding pro-life signs out in the street in Rockford. And a couple came into their pregnancy center to choose life for their baby against the advice of the people around them. And they ended up saying, why'd you do that? And they said, well, we saw those signs out on the street last summer and we knew we couldn't do that to our baby. So the presence, just the simple, without even speaking to anybody, without going out of your comfort zone to reach out and talk, just our simple presence saves lives. So being here is hugely, hugely important. But I also today want to piggyback off of some of what Julie was saying about the way we think and the way we speak about abortion, because that's hugely, hugely important, especially in our post-Roe v. Wade world. I can't tell you guys how much the landscape has changed, right? I mean, we can see it a little bit in some of the reactions we've seen and some of the, I mean, there's been people protesting here at Waterleaf over the last couple of years since Roe v. Wade fell, protesting against them, if you can believe such a thing. And so the climate is really, really different. Hear about Planned Parenthood's crazy abortion van they had at the DNC? I went down to see, because I couldn't even believe it. And there it was, with an 18-foot inflatable intrauterine contraceptive device sitting there in the parking lot with a taco truck and dance music. And my message to Planned Parenthood was, get serious, Planned Parenthood. This is a joke. They're out here with a circus handing out abortion pills. It's insane. It's a joke. It's not serious. And if they want to be dialogue partners in the American conversation about abortion, they need to get serious. But we also need to get serious, right? We've fallen into thinking and talking over the 50 years where our main goal was kind of overturning Roe v. Wade, and now that's done, right? I think we need to take a look at ourselves and look at the ways that we think and talk about abortion. So that means that if you're talking to somebody, you need to know who they are and how they're going to hear the words that you're saying. Because if you say something that they can't hear because of who they are, you're not going to get through to them. You're going to lose an opportunity, right? So when we think in sort of simplistic ways about abortion, like she should have kept her legs closed, or, you know, things like that. Sort of ways we maybe have talked and thought about abortion in the past. We're really shutting ourselves off from the opportunity for conversation and for the conversion that can come from those conversations. So I want to encourage us all to just think deeply about the ways we talk about abortion, not only in conversations with those on the other side, but even in our own internal discussion, to be bringing a level of compassion to those discussions, right? For these women who very many times, new research shows us, guys, this is mind-blowing. New research shows us that about one-third of women surveyed, and these are women who had abortions 20-some-odd years ago, they've had a lot of time to think about it, only about one-third said that it was a free choice, made without any kind of outside coercion or influence. About 10% said it was directly coerced, but the remaining percentages in between there said that if they had had a partner who supported them more, they wouldn't have chosen an abortion. Some of them said they chose abortion. Yeah, it was a free choice, but it wasn't what I wanted. Nobody made me do it, but it wasn't what I would have chosen if circumstances were different. I chose it, but it was against my religious beliefs, and if I had had better circumstances, I might not have chosen that. We have these women, Planned Parenthood is welcoming them with tacos and dance music and free pills over there, and they are being drawn in, pushed in by circumstances beyond their control in a lot of circumstances. We need to be aware of that in the way that we think and talk about abortion. You know, we're not gonna reach the DNC, the Democratic Party, the elites, but there are a lot of people who are very, very open to our message when we speak about it, like I said, in a way that they can understand. So I would say one of your best lines of attack is to be open to real conversations with people in your life, not the people you go to church with necessarily, but in other contexts, people who have different ideas about this, and show them that a pro-lifer isn't who they think it is, right? That a pro-lifer isn't some crazy person. A pro-lifer is a person they know who has an opinion on this subject. The guys, I'm gonna tell you this as well. People in their heart really are drawn to the pro-life position. It's other things that make them feel like they have to keep the window open for abortion, these difficult circumstances, but their hearts know, all right? So be the kind of person that they can look at and go, you know, I knew a pro-life person once who was really smart, and that, you know, opened a door for me.
Matt Yonke with the Pro-Life Action League during the Go Public for Life rally right across the street from the Planned Parenthood in Aurora. Now, after time out, we'll hear from the Midwest Coordinator for Students for Life and from two of the event organizers. Join Ali Beth Stuckey and the Illinois Family Institute for the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, 7 p.m. Friday, September 6th at the Tinley Park Convention Center. For tickets, go to illinoisfamily.org.
Christianity brings civilization, goodness.
Ali Beth Stuckey, wife, mom, author, followed by thousands on her hit Relatable podcast. Hear her fresh and firm call for Christians to lead in Illinois, in America, for faith, family, and freedom. For tickets, go to illinoisfamily.org.
Christians have always been on the front lines of human progress, set in love.
Ali Beth Stuckey and the Illinois Family Institute's Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, Friday, September 6th at the Tinley Park Convention Center. For tickets, go to illinoisfamily.org, illinoisfamily.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Kelvin from Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights. It is time to get your children and grandchildren out of the godless government schools. How can we subject our loved ones to forced, ungodly psychological examinations and perverse sexual teachings? You would not send your child to a school that teaches 2 plus 2 is 5. What is being taught today is far worse and damaging to minds and hearts. We can help through our on-campus Christian school and homeschool program. For over 55 years, we have operated a Christian school now in Arlington Heights, and we have served hundreds of thousands of families across our nation and foreign countries through our homeschool program, Christian Liberty Homeschools. Visit ChristianLiberty.com to learn more or to schedule a tour of our excellent 12-acre facility. Take action today. Visit ChristianLiberty.com, ChristianLiberty.com.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight with highlights from the Go Public for Life rally organized by Vision 2020. Veronica Januszewski, the Midwest Coordinator for Students for Life, explained how young people, despite opposition, are speaking out for life.
My job consists in helping students start pro-life groups at their schools. So unfortunately,
pro-life groups tend to be much harder to start than you think. Students often receive pushback from their peers, administration, and sometimes the school board. And this is not just public schools. This is also many private Christian and Catholic schools as well. So I want to give you guys a few examples of some stories I'm talking about. One year in Ohio, I helped a student start a group at her community college. You know, she had filled out all the paperwork in the beginning of the year and thought she was going to have an easy walk in the park to get this group started. It took her over 7 months to get her group started because she had no support from her peers and she had no support from her administration. So after a period of 7 months and a lot of prayer and perseverance, she actually did start her group, thanks be to God. But she had to really lean on the Lord because she felt very hopeless and many times. But I still remember the day that she called me and she was like, "We did it. We started our group." And it was awesome. And she's one of the leaders in the Ohio region. So thanks be to God for that. Another example is I helped two students in Arkansas start their pro-life group at their college. They actually started it. You know, they had no pushback from the administration at first. And then, over a period of time, they decided to pass out pro-life resources on public property. They were not aggressive. They were very peaceful, as all of us are every Saturday when we come here. And they were told by the administration and the president of the university that they were doing it wrong. A lot of pushback. They don't want a pro-life group on their campus because pro-life means that we believe that a human being is from the moment of conception to natural birth. And a lot of times, if you don't have an administration that supports that, they will push back, or a school board. We have a legal team at Students for Life where we can challenge that, and oftentimes we win. Let me say that again. Most of the time, we do push back because our lawyers are very good at being like, if it is a public school, we have a legal right to be on that campus. And if there is an LGBTQWXYZ group on the campus, we have a legal right to also be there as a pro-life group. So we do challenge it and we do win. So please support them, pray for them, because a lot of times these administrators don't want to see the truth being told on the campus. So we figured out a way to talk to them and come to a compromise, but there was a lot of pushback for about 2 months. Anyways, so thanks be to God, these students persevered and they knew the impact that they wanted to make in their community and in the lives of their peers. We live in a time that's so unique to us, and I go to campus regularly and talk with students and listen to their concerns, and I know, as we all know, that they are longing for the truth, no matter how angry or aggressive they may get. And here at SFLA, Students for Life, we are sharing that truth on campuses, in our communities, and in our church. Because in a recent study with CareNet, who supports over 1,000 pregnancy centers, they found that many women with unexpected pregnancies go silently from church pew to the abortion clinic. And according to their survey results, many of the women expressed that they were convinced that the church would gossip rather than help. More than 4 in 10 women who have had an abortion were churchgoers when they ended their pregnancy. So that's a huge opportunity for all of us as churchgoers to make an impact on these women and in their lives and their decisions. And who here doesn't have the ability to impact their church community? At Students for Life, we developed an initiative called CALLED, where we share these resources with churches because we want our churches to spread the pro-life message. And with that being said, friends, now is the time where we must pray and we must act. When the reversal of Roe happened, many pro-lifers just thought that our fight was over. But as we know, our fight just began. And we are on the cusp of possibly having the most pro-abortion president in office. What are we gonna do? Do we want places like Planned Parenthood to bring a bus around to offer free abortions with our taxpayer funding money? So what can we do? I want to encourage each of you to get involved at your church first and foremost, whether it's having a pro-life ministry, praying outside of a Planned Parenthood, hosting a pro-life speaker, or even inviting others to join. We have to invite others. That's the thing that people don't do nowadays. They think that they're just going to come. You have to go up to them. And we need to continue to share the pro-life message. Because education, education, education is key, not only with our peers, our students, and our families. And if you know any students out there, encourage them to start a pro-life group and support them, because they're going to need your support, because they are facing a battle that none of us have faced before. In the end, we must pray. We know we can't do anything without God. God's law is perfect. He refreshes our soul, and we will win this fight. Because in the end, we know he is a greater God, and we are with him, not against him. Thank you, guys.
Question, ma'am.
Yeah.
These students that you meet with have been indoctrinated in government schools that abortion is a good thing. How do you overcome that?
A lot of conversation and a lot of education. Like I said, there's a lot of things that, unfortunately, because of the indoctrination that students have within schools and universities, they don't think for themselves. You have to be able to help them think. And we at Students for Life have 4 dialogue principles when we talk to students. So it's listen to understand, clarify objectives, find common ground, and then be nice. Because we know as pro-lifers, we're not going to change hearts and minds. We're there to plant seeds, and God waters the rest. But in order to do that, you have to be willing to talk with them, even if they may have something very staunch. I've had many students where they have had staunch beliefs, but it's having that conversation. And sometimes, you know, there are some people that don't want to talk to you, and you say, thank you so much for your time. We're not going to agree, so we're going to move on. But the ones that are willing to listen, you have to go through that conversation. And that's what the disciples did and what we're here to do today.
Veronica Januszewski, the Midwest Coordinator for Students for Life, Sarah Lindquist, and Catherine Walker also spoke at the Go Public for Life rally, which they helped organize. The two women pray outside the Planned Parenthood in Aurora and encourage women to turn away from the facility and instead choose life for their children.
How do we be a voice for life if Kamala Harris is elected?
It doesn't matter who's elected. We're a voice for life no matter what. The voice for life is our conscience telling us what's right, and we do what's right. People in the civil rights movement, people in the abolitionist movement, in other movements that sought for justice and human rights for people, it didn't matter who was the president. They did what was right in their conscience. So I think we listen to our conscience. The Lord will use the Holy Spirit to speak to us on what's right, what's our role.
Second part of the question. If President Trump is reelected, do you fear that pro-lifers will say, all things are good now, we don't have to be as active?
I remember listening to President Trump's delineation of pro-life, and he didn't probably say a lot what we thought he was going to say. But at the end of that, I was sitting in a coffee shop by myself, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go do the same thing that God has told me all along. I'm going to go save one life at a time. That's all he's asked me to do. I come out here, I don't feel a need to have 20 people behind me. I don't feel a need to have 20 babies saved. But I'm there to do what he's called me to do, and that's stand there and be a light in a dark place, and hopefully I get to save one baby at a time. And he has honored me with that numerous times. So we're to go save one life at a time. We're to go make disciples one at a time. We can stand here and have the nastiest person drive by and scream and yell at us. And we pray for them all the time. But you know what? That lady or man is going to leave here, and he's going to be upset, and he's going to talk to somebody, and he's going to be jacked up, and he's going to, these pro-lifers and so forth. And he's going to say, Bob, when are you going to let it go? When are you going to finally get it, you know? And Bob starts to think, and God gets a hold of his heart. And Bob can be our biggest advocate in the next 5 years, because we've seen it. It can happen.
Sarah Lindquist and Catherine Walker with Go Public for Life, an event organized by Vision 2020. Please join the Illinois Family Institute in praying for our state and nation beginning September 25th for corporate prayer and for 40 days through the election. For more information, go to humilityandprayerillinois.com. Go to illinoisfamily.org to give a tax-deductible gift to IFI for events, to sign on for IFI email updates, and to order free copies of IFI's Nonpartisan Voter Guide. And tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.